Okay, so we have been throwing around the terms Balyarra, Balyamatse for a while now, and we have treated them in general as if they are the same and interchangeable. Yes? What I want to do over the next, let's say, I don't know, day or two? Let's say two. Because if I say day, that's never, definitely not going to happen. Is try to understand a little bit. What is the nature of these prohibitions? Are they distinct? Are they the same? And even if they end up being the same, does the fact that we use language that is not actually about ownership per se, it's about seeing and finding, is that just sort of a quirk, or is that going to have halachic manifestations? We're really only going to discuss this at a very broad level. It is, in many ways, the topics of most of the sugyot from here to through basically the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph, with some other things thrown in. And we'll see how much we get into some of those local topics. So, like the top of Vav Amud Aleph is the topic of Arnona. And Arnona, it's not clear what it is. It's a three machlok rishonim as to what Arnona is. We'll see how much we get into that, okay? But those are our basic goals, right? Is to figure out, are these two prohibitions or one? If they are two, how are they related? Is it about ownership, something else? And if it's about something else, is that something else less demanding or less, or more demanding, or more expansive, or limited than ownership? Okay, but as we start everything, and this article that I gave you, for those of you who looked at it, is really, really well done. It was really well done. Yeah, it was really well done. He's an interesting guy, Rav Spiegelman. Rav Spiegelman was a Ram for many years at Gush, and then he decided that he didn't want to be a Ram. So he moved to being in charge of IT or something like that at Gush, and just sort of does the computers and hangs around Gush and writes halachic articles and gives random shiurim because he's a massive Talmud Chacham, but he didn't want to do it full time. So interesting guy. I thought this is a very, very good article. Right, so I didn't just give it to you because it's a summary, but because I thought it was just a really excellent analysis. But as we always do, we have to start with the psukim. Right? So if we start with the psukim, so first we have Shmot, Perek, Yud Bet, Pasuk Yutet. 1 second, and we got it, right? So if we go back a little bit before, we've seen these many times, but in Pasuk Yudchet it starts Barishon. Bar Basar Yom HaChodesh Bo'erev Tochul Matzora Yom HaEchad V'Ashrim L'chodesh ba'erev, on the first day, on the 14th, no, please, no, not doing share, thank you. On the 14th at night, you start eating matzah until the 21st day. And during those 7 days, shivat yamim se'or, lo yimatzeh bebateichem. Ki kol ochel machmetzev nechretan evet vehi me'adat Yisrael, bager vezrach haaretz. For those 7 days, leaven you shall not find in your house, for anyone who eats leaven shall be excised from the Jewish, that their soul shall be cut off from the Jewish people. Because as we know, right, these, because you're eating the Yetzer Hara, right? Obviously, 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 obviously. Right, so this is the prohibition of lo yimotze, right? Lo bali, right? Of lo yiroe is in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Zayin. Matzot yachel et shivat hayamim v'lo yireh lecha chametz v'lo yireh lecha se'or b'chol gulecha. You shall eat matzah for 7 days and you shall not see chametz. Okay, and again, we've read the Gemara before on Hamud Bet. Remember, we read it briefly in the context of Bittul, where he noted that the Gemara there focuses on a key two-letter word, which is lecha, which is the basis of Tosfot's position that Bittul has nothing to do with the object, the chametz itself. It needs only to sever the connection between the chametz and the owner of the chametz. But now we need to take a step back and go back to the psukim and say, okay, we have two psukim here. One says don't find, and it talks about leaven. One says don't see, and it talks about chametz. What is the nature of these prohibitions, right? They clearly are distinct in the sense that, you know, they're a perek apart. These are different psukim, but, and the Rambam, as we'll see, does in fact at least count them as separate mitzvot. But the question is, what is their nature? For sure you could. And the Gemara, there's good reason to believe by the end of the day in the Gemara that they're the same thing. In fact, as we'll see, the Ritva believes that, right? The Ritva believes that by the end of the Sugya, they're the same. But before we figure out whether they're the same, we need to note the differences. Then we need to figure out whether those differences are significant, right? But we at least have to note them, because if we want to understand the issue, right? Okay. So here, Rav Spiegelman does just, I think a beautiful analysis. So he notes, okay, the Isser of owning chametz is listed three times in the Torah, right? The first is in Shmot Perek Bet, the second is in Shmot Perek Yud Gimel, and the third is in Dvarim Perek Tet Zayin, right? We have focused on the main two psukim, right? However, if you broaden you broaden the perspective, you will discover that as you read carefully through the psukim, you find many differences that may or may not be relevant halachically. Okay? So he highlights several. The first he notes is the most obvious, and that is that in Perek Yud Bet, the Isser is formulated as don't find chametz. Right? In Perek Yud Gimel, the prohibition is described as don't see chametz. So we need to figure out
why.
Well, right, there's three questions you need to ask here, right? One, what does it mean not to find? What does it mean not to see? And what is the relationship between saying that you shouldn't find, you shouldn't see? Yes? Right? So, right? Here, I'm going to follow it, right? I'll follow his analysis here, right? But he says, the questions we need to ask ourselves are,
okay, first question is, what type of Isser? And here I have three questions, right? What is, right? What does it mean to find, right? What does it mean to see? And does see equal find? Question mark.
Okay? Yes, those are the three questions we have to ask, right? The type of Isser, as it's described in Perek Yud Bet, is don't find chametz in Perek Yud Gimel is don't see chametz, and then we have to ask, okay, once we've defined find, once we've defined see, what is it, right? What is see, right? How are see and find related? Are they the same thing or not? Yes? Okay. Second issue, again, just focusing on these two psukim, is the question of ownership. And this is the one we started to talk about with Bittel, and that is that by Yimatze, right? It says, without, right, an ownership qualifier, right? You might say, the public says, you might say, it shall not be found, right? By Yireh, it says, Yireh lecha, right? So the second type of question we're going to have to ask when we define these Yisurim is, what is the law of ownership, right? And is a difference between Yireh, right? And Perek Yud Gimel, right? Yireh Lecha. Okay? Third question we need to ask ourselves is, where is the chametz found? It doesn't matter. So, in the perek of, in Perek Yud Bet by Lo Yimotze, right? Very good. It says, right, Perek Yud Bet again, Pasuk Yud Tet, let's look at it just again, is Lo Yimotze Bivoteichet. So, we have house, really your house, right? Your house, right? Now, that means what? That we do have right? So even though in this parak we don't have ownership, right? We don't have it, right? In lo yimatze, we don't have a licha, right? It's not fully correct to say that there's nothing that could possibly imply ownership in the yimatze, because in the context of where we do get a yours, right? Bevatechem, right? So therefore, we are going to have to define that. But one of the questions we're having to ask in the prohibitions is, does where matter? So what we know is that in Perek Yud Bet, we talk about houses, right? And in Perek Yud Gimel, we talk about, and this is also in Dvarim, so if we turn for a second to Dvarim, Perek Tetzayin, Dvarim Perek Tetzayin, Shmor El Chodesh Aviv, Asi Lepesach Adon Erlecha, Ki B'Chodesh Aviv Otiach Adon Erlecha, Meretz Mitzrayim Laila, V'Zavachta Pesach Adon Erlecha, Tzon Abakar, Makom Ashir Chad, and Adon Shekin Shemo Sham, right, on the 16th, on the 15th, you have, right, guard the spring, blah, blah, blah. Lo Tocho Lov Chameit Shivat Yom, Yim Tocho Lov Matzot Lechem, Oni Ki B'Chi Bazon, Yatzat Meretz Mitzrayim, Lomant Tzkor, Yom Tzitcha, Meretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha. Don't eat chametz for 7 days, eat matzah, the poor man's bread, because you left in haste from Mitzrayim, so you'll remember the day of Egypt. V'lo yira'eh lecha se'or b'chol gvulecha. Right, so we get the repeat of yira'eh and lecha, right? So this is really, right, this is Shmot, Yud Gimel, and Vardam Tetzayim, right? Shivat Yamin, v'lo yalin min abasar tizbach v'erev b'yom rishon l'boker, and don't leave over from the Korban Pesach. You aren't allowed to shech the carbon pesach in one of your gates. Right, rather, you'd bring it to the place that God has chosen to let his name dwell. And you'll cook it and you'll eat it in the place that God chose, and then you'll go home in the morning. Right? So those are the psukim. Now, in this context, here it says, where don't you find chametz? At least I should benefit from that. Thank you, Jerry Shear.
Right?
Right? So we have where? So we. Lo yimatze, we have a house, but here we have gvul, right? Your boundaries, your border. Okay? Let's pause here for a second, right? Because I'm running out of space on the board. So let's, right? Let's reflect on these three, and then we'll move to the next three differences. Okay? So, again, the first question we have to ask is the type of itzer. In one place it says fine, in one place, two places it says see, right? And then we have to ask, are see and fine the same thing? Now, if I asked you just without knowing any Gemara, without knowing anything, and I asked you, okay, what is the nature of, if I say don't find chametz,
you know,
right? What? Instead,
you know where something.
Well, what would you say if you just had to guess the difference between seeing and finding? If there's a difference.
You didn't know that there was chametz there.
Which what?
Finding. You
right. Now finding implies that
learning something new.
Right. I didn't know about it. Right. Meaning, if I say don't find it, that means I had to look for it. Right. Which means that I have to. Right. Which implies. Right? Actively get rid of. Right? Right? Rid yourself of coming. Whereas seeing, you might think, implies what? Yeah, right? I mean, you could just read it as visible coming. Right? Right? Right, or you could, right, if you wanted to, right, you could say, no, maybe it just means don't look for it, right? Or, right, don't. Right? Or whatever, right? So, right, if you wanted to, you can say that lo yira'eh, you only violate with visible chametz. Right? You might say in that sense is more expansive. right? Make sure you don't find unless you read the way Avi does, which is, no, just don't look for it, right? Just stay in bed all of Pesach, or whatever, go on vacation, right? Right, just don't look. Don't look, just go hiking, right? Camp, I don't know.
And there's no sort of eating, too.
Well, obviously there's no sort of eating in addition, right? But that's sort of in the background, and you have to figure out how to move away.
That kind of has to do more with why not to, like, not take a vacation.
Because,
like, it says why not to, because you shouldn't eat it.
Oh, you mean the Pesukim linked them, yes. That's true, but the Pesukim linked eating, and we do need to figure out why that would be. Okay. Ownership, right? If I ask you, what level of ownership do you think would be necessary to violate these prohibitions? What would you say? What? In Yematzei or Lo Yirai Lecha? I'm asking you. Okay, so then how do you read the word lacha? Don't see for you.
You should not see.
Okay, so if you wanted to read it minimalistically, you would say, what do you mean? It has nothing to do with ownership, right? Lacha doesn't mean don't see yours. It means?
You shouldn't see.
You shouldn't see.
You don't need the word lacha to say that.
Right. The problem is that then just say lo yireh, right?
Right.
So, give me another possibility. What else might you say? What? So that, but which one? Are you Matzei or Lo Yireh? Right, so you might say that the fact that Lacha implies some sort of ownership, right?
Which is...
Whereas you might say, right? Right, maybe, even without. Right, maybe. Right, maybe. Could be, right? Or it could, right? Now, in terms of where... Right? So, what do you do with the fact that sometimes it says house and sometimes it says gvul?
Gvul is more expansive.
So, this is more expansive, good. Now,
you're more likely to find something in your house.
Right, that makes sense. But...
Correct. So, therefore what? So, what do you think the relationship is between saying don't find it in your house and don't find it in your border?
Makes me think that means... It shouldn't be, because then it would...
Right, so what's the relationship between these two?
You shouldn't find in your house and you shouldn't see in your border.
So Mordechai says, so one possibility is to say, these are additive.
Right.
Okay? Right, conceptually, you could say, these are additive. Meaning what? Your house is more limited, and that's why the pasuk has to come and say, and also don't find it in your border,
so
right?
You
meaning,
said,
if I just had house, I would have said... My house, and then I come and I tell you, and by the way, not just your house, but your yard and your car and your, you know, 70 acres of land that you have behind your house because you live in wherever you live in Montana, whatever. Do you have 70 acres?
No.
Okay.
Well, what's even worse is
COVID,
the
heading out.
Well, what's even worse than the 70?
Now, Mordechai gives different possibilities. Not that they're additive, but
that you apply different.
What?
You apply different standards to each.
Correct. It may be right. That may be Yireh versus Yematzei different standards, right?
Sounds like Yematzei would be a higher standard, and that's why it's for a smaller.
Well, you're talking about the Pesukim. Which would it be? Which one says? Right, so you might say, now this might actually make sense, because what do we just say? That if I read the simple Pesukim, you might say, does it require ownership?
No.
Possibly not. And which place is linked to you might say? Your house, right? Yireh has ownership, and that's linked to? Gvul, so there's actually a certain logic.
Possibly even because, but when it's, now I'm getting even more expansive, but if it's in your house and you have some sort of ownership.
Right, meaning you could say, listen, that if it's in my house, then maybe I don't need ownership to have some connection to the chametz, right? But if it's only in my borders, right, then, right, ownership will connect it to me, whereas...
If somebody just leaves a loaf of bread.
Correct, right, so these might be... Right, so these might be connected, right? The closer it is to me physically, the less ownership I need to connect me to the chametz, right? Whereas the farther it is from me physically, maybe right? The more ownership I need, right? So there is a logic to say that these orange is additive,
right?
But that there's actually a difference.
Which
yes.
would make me think that within this model, it would have to be your house.
Possibly. I mean, but we'll see. It depends for which formulation. Okay, these are the first three. These are the first three differences we own in the circuit. We see the possibilities that are starting to open, right? The fourth difference. Yeah. Hey, it's possible. I think that would be additive, or maybe you want to call it interesting. Yeah, they're at least somewhat related. Yeah, that's also possible. Okay, then we have the fourth difference between the psukim, and that is time, right? And that is time. So what do we have there? Shmot Yud Bet is this day, right on this day. What do we have in Shmot Yud Gimel? Sorry, in Dvarim, what do we have? Aviv. Right? And in Shmot Yud Gimel, what do we have? We have Matzot Ye'achel. We have 1 second. It is Bachodesh Hazeh. Right? Vayom HaShvi'i Chag LaHashem. Right? V'gadol Levincha. Right? Etc. We have a combination. We have Chodesh. We have Yom. Right? So we got to figure out what the difference, what these all mean. Right? Then we have another difference, and that is, right, Chametz versus Seor. Right, Chametz versus Seor. Where in Shmot Yud Bet and Dvarim, we only have, right, then in Shmot Yud Bet and Dvarim, we only have Seor. Whereas in Shmot Yud Gimel, we have both, right? We have different terms. That's it, right? So we have to ask if there might be a difference between how these prohibitions are manifest. If we're talking about Seor, we're talking about Chametz, right? And then the sixth difference between the Psukim is then Shmot Yud Bet and Yud Gimel, the prohibition is what? Right? It is the context. In the Shmot, it's connected to what? The Mitzrayim story, right? And in Dvarim, it's connected to Karban Pesach, right? So it's simply worth noting, right, these six issues that emerge from the Psukim. Okay. So now, so far, all we've done is we've listed the differences. We've noted that Shmot Yud Bet, Shmot Yud Gimel, and Dvarim Tetzayin all have different factors. But now, right, what's the conceptual question we need to ask? Right, what are the conceptual issues we need to deal with? So the major question is, we need to A, define all of these, right? And then B, we need to figure out whether there's significance, right, significance to them, and is there significance to the fact that the difference manifests themselves by different Yisurim, right? Meaning in the end of the day, one approach to this would be that it's very nice that we have all these differences, but by the end, halachically, we integrate them all. So one pasuk says ownership, one doesn't. Okay, so one was not clear on the topic, one was. That shows me you always need ownership, right? One of them implies you only violate if it's visible. One clearly does not. Okay, take the more expansive read. You violate even if you don't. It says house and gvul. Ah, additive. That means you violate whether it's in your house or if it's in your gvul. Oh, one pasuk says chametz and one pasuk says sa'ar. Yalla, you violate for both, right?
Maybe if you just take the more
right? Sure, I guess you could theoretically do the opposite, which is say, oh, only if it's chametz and sor at the same time, and it's in your house,
exactly.
And your gvul, and you see it, and you find it. I don't even know how you're going to pull that all off, but sure, right? But one possibility is basically to say, listen, it's very nice that you noted all these differences, but the proper thing to do now is to
combine them,
right? And therefore, yes, some of them imply ownership, some of them don't, some of them imply that you have to physically see it, some of it doesn't. Take the chumras of all of them, or the kulas of all of them, if you want, somehow, right? And create one combined iser. Yes? Second possibility is to say, like broadly speaking, is to say, this matters. This matters. Meaning, these differences aren't just there for fun. They matter. Right? They matter, right? Those are the two main approaches that we're going to have to deal with, right? Is do these differences matter? Or at the end of the day, they all get collapsed together and therefore, I mean, they matter, but not in the sense that they actually highlight different types of Isurim, but because each of them adds another element. But by the end, we combine them. Or do we say, no, these differences actually matter. Now, you'll tell me, methodologically, I don't like the approach of just saying that this doesn't matter, right? So there is a soft way of saying it doesn't matter, and that is, it matters, but it doesn't matter halachically in the end. Meaning, it matters, but it doesn't matter. Okay, good. So what would that mean, right? So here, Spiegelman makes the following suggestion, right? He says, look, maybe you'll say like this, right? In Perek Yud Bet, we have the discussion of, that's what we get, Bal Yimotze. That says, in your house, right? And after that, we start talking about Gvul. So maybe, so Spiegelman says, maybe that matters, but only on a temporary basis. Why? Because Perek Yud Bet, when are the Jews being told about these prohibitions?
Before
Yitzhi Mitzrayim. Before Yitzhi Mitzrayim, what property might they have had access to? Remember, they were slaves in a foreign country. What a property did they own? So, therefore, what was relevant?
So,
very good. They're by it. In fact, in Perek Yud Bet, by it is super important. Why is it super important? What else are they doing in there by it?
Staying inside,
putting blood on the doors, meaning they don't really own anything, but they have homes. So maybe in Perek Yud Bet, you'll say that the reason that we talk about houses is not because house, it's that you only violate the prohibition of chametz if it's in your house and not if it's in your extended property. It's because when Moshe is talking to the Jews in Mitzrayim, meaning all they have, the only thing that's relevant in their life is their home, is their house. They don't have other property. And therefore, it's not that it's untrue that you can't have chametz in your expanded property. It's that they didn't have extended property. But once you start to get to Dvarim, and in Dvarim, Moshe is giving the laws to the Jews who are going to enter into Eretz Israel, in which they will have it. So Moshe says, listen, the principle was always, whatever prohibition there is on owning chametz and the like, it's in everything you own. It happens to be that the Jews in Mitzrayim didn't own anything, right? So you could say, listen, is there a good reason that in Perek Yud Bet we only talked about house? Yes, because we're talking to the Jews in Egypt, and it's before Makat Bechorot, and they're going to be staying in their house. House is like the theme of the night. And that's all they had. It's not because it wanted to imply that you only violate chametz in your house. It's because that's all they had. So it was meaningful to say your house and not say vulecha. But not because conceptually it was untrue. Your borders, yeah, I mean your property, right? But not because it's untrue that you would violate the surim of Valyra Valyamatse in your entire property, just they didn't have it. Right? So therefore you could say, listen, right? So there's really three approaches here, right? One is ignore difference, right? Two is, right, assume halachic implications, right? And three is, let's call it narrative implications, right? Meaning there might be differences, but not necessarily the halacha. Like, it makes sense in the story that this is how we talk, but it doesn't necessarily have legal implications, right? So that would be like a middle approach. Now, of course, if this is the case, right, if you think it only has narrative implications, right, then both this approach of ignore and this approach of narrative, right, what are they going to mahalacha mean? That all these are equal, right? Meaning if you either approach the psukim and say that whatever difference they are, they should be ignored, or you say you should pay attention to them because they have narrative implications, right? They help understand the story. Right? But it's just helping with the story. It's not, right? It's not that we said house in Perek Yud Bet because we wanted to limit it to house. It's because the Jews only had a house. Right? Once you say that there are differences, but these differences are more about, you know, right, context, a narrative context rather than a legal context, both of those are going to come to the possibility that la halacha, right, bal yirah bal yimatzeh are going to be the same. That maybe they're phrased differently in the psukim, but that's because the psukim are not only telling you law, right? The law are part of the story, and in the story it matters, right? And then you could go to each word and say, why would this matter? Why, right? I don't know. Now, it's possible, of course, that this perek was actually given afterwards, right? Even though, you know, it's written in the Torah before. Right, but it's possible that it was actually given, right, later, right, you know, based on in muktam umukar mukhar b'Torah, right, the notion that the Torah isn't always written chronologically, right, and if that's the case, then all this theoretically happened after right after they left Mitzrayim. The second you say something like that, right, the narrative claim doesn't necessarily work. And there is evidence that, right, at least some of these things were said after Mitzrayim. So, for example, Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Yud Zayin. What does Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Yud Zayin say? Ushmartem et amatzot ki be'etzem ayom hazeh utzeiti et tzivoteichem eretz Mitzrayim. Ushmartem ayom hazeh l'dorteichem chukat olam. And you shall guard the matzot. Remember, this is Perek Yud Bet. Right? You shall guard the matzot on this day, because on this day I took you out of Egypt. Which means, you see Mitzrayim is being said in the past tense. Have they left Egypt yet? No. Right? So there is reason to look in the Pesukim that just because it's written before they've left Egypt doesn't mean that it was actually given there. It could just be, what? You could read it that way. Correct. You could read it that way. Or it's telescoping. In the future, you will tell your kids that I took you out of Egypt, that type of thing. Yeah, obviously, you could do that. But the second you say that these psukim were not given, right, were all given after they left Egypt, right, then you might say, well, okay, but they're all given when, let's say, having property is more realistic, right? So then you're going to be more likely to say that the fact that nevertheless we use the words buy it versus ghoul is meaningful. Okay. Another thing worth noting is that in Perek Yud-Bet, this was something that Yonah mentioned, right? In Perek Yud-Bet, what is the motivation for destroying chametz? You don't eat it. Very good. In Perek Yud-Gimel, what is the motivation? Yeah, right? Very good. It's educational. Is the Jews, when they left Mitzrayim, right? And this is also in Dvarim. They weren't able to let their bread rise. And therefore, you should have right? You should have matzah because that will remind them. Which means that there are two different reasons to not have it in your house. One is because having it in your house leads you to possibly to eat it. And the other is that the presence of chametz is somehow fundamentally against the theme, yes, is the Yetzirah, but it's against the theme of Pesach, right? It's against the theme of Pesach. Now, if you had those two different models, what might that do to these factors? What do you think? Right? If you, right, let's say we actually took that seriously and we said that one reason not to have chametz in your house is because it might cause you to eat, and the other is because it's fundamentally, right, against the theme of Pesach. Then what would you do? Right? Would that affect the halacha? Well, let's see. Let's try the where. Let's try the where. If it's about eating, where would you expect to not be allowed to have chametz? Possibly only in your house, because that's where you eat, right? Like, if I happen to have, like, you know, if Avi's Oreo happened to not be on his bed, but happened to, like, fall out of his pocket, you know, in the, you know, Avi has decided he's moving to Texas or Montana. Fine, Montana. You like Montana more than Texas, right? So he has, you know, a nice big estate, and he has, you know, acres and acres of land and a little, you know, some woods, right? If, you know, he happens to have his, or whatever he brought on his hiking through his woods at the back of his 70-acre property, right? If there happens to be a stale Oreo on the floor, right, under a tree out in the back of his property, the chance he's going to eat it, unlikely. But if it's about, no, the presence of chametz is anathema to the nature of Pesach, so then yes, maybe the fact that the raccoons living in Avi's property now have access to stale Oreos. I don't know, you have 70 acres. I can't even imagine what 70 acres looks like. Come on, right? I grew up in New York. I now live in Efrat. I'm currently in Modi'in. None of those places, right? New York City, right? Upstate New York, you actually can't have property like that. But New York City, like in Brooklyn, you know, 70 acres would be...
70 acres would be... Oh, beyond that.
I mean, yes, but also like, you know...
That would...
The idea of, right, like the idea of having open property that's not built on, the people just don't like it, you know? Where's the concrete? Where's the concrete, right? Niflai is habayre, you know? Concrete.
My backyard is entirely like cement, and a porch takes up most of it. So
let's see, right? I grew up in New York City. This is not something I experienced. You lived in Brooklyn, Kalvachomer, Rechman al-Itzlan. I lived in Staten Island. At least we have a little bit more land. We have forests and stuff like that. Brooklyn, forget it. Forget it. Seattle. Seattle. I've never been to Seattle. I don't know.
It has some focus.
You're Texas. You actually have land. St. Louis? What? You have land? Okay, fine.
Where are you?
Yeah, you have land?
What? St. Louis.
I used to drive to New Mexico. Nadav, you have land by you. People have larger properties, don't they? Isn't there more empty land compared to New York City? No? What? Yeah, there you go, right? That's true. You lived in Ohio, yeah, for sure. Yeah, you only lived in places with space.
Yeah,
look at that.
When you see them start to cut the trees for
okay. The rest of you can weigh in also. Okay, so
Yeah,
Now, right in Dvarim, let's say where the issue is connected to Karban Pesach. So again, you'd have to figure out, well, what would it mean for something to be in conflict with the Karban Pesach, right? Okay. To sort of summarize what we've seen, and you can look at some of the more details here, right? The basic thing that we wanted to do first was to figure out, okay, we have all, right? We have three times the Psukim come up. The simple pshat implies that there are differences. One says find, which implies even something you don't know about. One says see, which implies something you know about. They have difference in ownership. In one place you have the qualifier, in one place you don't, l'cha. In one place it talks about house, which is more limited. In one place it talks about gvul, which is more expansive. One place talks about chametz versus sa'or. One only talks about sa'or. They have different times. They have different contexts. And what we need to do is figure out, what do we do with all these differences? So one possible way is to ignore them and just say, look, by the end of the day, we're going to mosh it all together and come up with a prohibition, and maybe these words will incorporate, but this doesn't highlight any differences. In the end of the day, there's one Isser, and we're going to need to construct that Isser based on all the hints here, right? They're not irrelevant, but the fact that some appear in Pasuk X and some appear in Pasuk Y, that's irrelevant l'halacha. Or a parallel, right, or a related thing would be to say it is relevant, but it's relevant in a narrative, philosophical sense, right? Like, the easiest being the question of houses, right? That when you're in Mitzrayim, we talk about not having chametz in your house, but that's all you have. It doesn't mean that you wouldn't violate if you had more property, you just didn't, right? So there's a narrative implication, but by time we get to halacha, we're going to collapse all of these things together and create one synthetic whole, right? The second real possibility is to say that no, maybe these prohibitions are different and they're distinct, and therefore, these differences matter, right? These differences matter even lahalacha. Yes?
Okay. The only real question on the narrative interpretation is, why would you use different legal terms? So why would you leave out one of the legal terms?
No, so then obviously, right, you have to do the hard work. If you're going to say it's narrative differences, you'll have to figure out in each case, right? And, well, why would... You're right. That's the work you would have to do. Okay. We have a few minutes left, so let's quickly review the Gemara and highlight why this is important. Okay, so if you look at Hayyamud Bet, okay, what does the Gemara say? So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Shivat Yamim Sa'or Lo Yimatzei Bevatechem. For 7 days you shall not find leaven in your house. Mal Talmud Lomar, why are you telling me this? V'alo Kvar Nemar Lo Yereh Lecha Sa'or. Now, right off the bat, you should realize something very weird about this Gemara. Tana Rabbanan Shivat Yamim Sor Limatzei Bevatechem. Ma Talmud Lomar V'alo Kvar Nemar. Actually, no, it's just a mistake here. Oh, no. Yeah, that's exactly the point, right? Is it says, Lo Yimatze. And then the Gemara says, why do you have to say Lo Yimatze? We already said Lo Yira'eh. Did we? No, we didn't. Yimatze is in Perek Yudvet. And Lo Yira'eh is in Perek Yud Gimel. Now, this already points in the direction that Chazal may think that the Psukim are out of order historically, because otherwise, right? Right, you can't say that. Why do I say Yimatze? You already said Lo Yira'eh. No, you didn't. Right, or you're saying, right, so either the Gemara is assuming it's out of order, or, as Yonah is saying, the Gemara is assuming an integrated whole, right? And therefore, it's not asking, we already said. The point is, l'halacha, right, what does lo yimatze add to lo yira'eh? Sure. Right? So the Gemara says, lo yira'eh chameis b'chol gulecha, l'fi shenemar lo yira'eh lecha sa'or. So the Gemara says, well, but it says, Lo Yireh Chasor, Shelcha Yata Roa Vata Roa Shelachirim Shel Gavoha. So the Gemara says, well, Lecha teaches me ownership, right? We accept the ownership qualification, which means that you can't see your own, but you can see that which belongs to others, and we'll see what others means. Right? We saw this a little bit by Bittel, whether it, what could others mean? Non-Jews or even other Jews, right? That's a very big difference, right? You don't violate if you see the chametz of others, but what does others mean, right? Non-Jewish on chametz or Jewish, even Jewish, or that which belongs to Gavoa. So the Gemara says, Yachol Yatmin v'kabel pikdonot men anachrim. I might have thought that you could hide it, or I could get deposits from a non-Jew. Talmud Lomar lo yimotzei. So what does the Gemara say? What's the first move that the Gemara says? What does lo yimotzei add to lo yira'eh? Right, what does the Gemara first say?
Correct, meaning licha implies that you need ownership. You must say, without the licha qualifiers, tells me that even the kabel, right? Pikadon. Right? Right? Even if I take
a non-Jew's right thing as a deposit, is there ownership?
No. No, that means that the Gemara first says the lack of lecha expands the notion of ownership and says we don't actually need.
You don't
need, right? We don't need full ownership.
Right? You don't need full ownership. Right? So the Gemara says, first of all, this is important. This lecha thing is important. Because lecha would imply that the only thing you violate is that which belongs to you. The fact that yimatzei is written without an ownership qualifier tells me that you don't need full ownership. Right? That there are things that you violate for, right, these prohibitions, even if you don't have full ownership, and then we need to figure out, well, why not? Right? Right? Well, why don't you need ownership? And what, if the standard isn't ownership, then what is it? Right? So the Gemara says, fine, Talmud Lomar lo yimotzei. Ein lila benachri shelo kibashto vein charimach v'chatzer. Benachri shelo kibashto. Vein charimach v'chatzer. Nachri kibashto vein charimach v'chatzer minayin. What's the Gemara's next move? Right, so the Gemara says, if I'd only had this pasuk, I would have said, right, it's only by a guy who you did not overcome. It doesn't dwell with you in your courtyard, right? Meaning, but how do you know, right, that a guy that's in your courtyard, how do we know that he's including the prohibition? Lo yimotzei v'adechem, that anywhere in your position you can't have chametz. Ein li'al shuvadechem. So now the Gemara says, oh, I only know that you violate in... I'm playing on my computer so I don't have to have two things wrong here. Well, I might have thought you only violate in your house. Bevorochich and vorabinai. And how do I know that you violate in ditches and caves and pits? Talmud Lomar. B'chol gulecha. So what does the Gemara do to the where? Additive. Right? I would have thought that you only violate in your house. Kamash Malan. You violate in your whole property. V'adayin ani omer. But now, the Gemara says, b'vatim over mishum bal yirah bal yimotze bal yatmin bal yikabah begonim en agoy. Maybe I would have thought that what? In houses you violate bal yirah bal yimotze. Right? Don't hide. Don't accept deposits from a goy. But bil gvulin shalcha iataroa baltaroa shalcharem v'shalgavoa. Right? I might have thought that what? In your house? What? You don't need ownership. But in the gvul you do. Right?
Yeah.
Right? You might have thought that there's a difference in terms of the ownership requirements, whether it's in your house or in the gvulin. Minayin litain et amur shel zeh bazeh v'shel zeh bazeh. How do I know that whatever is said by this one is said by this one? Talmud lomar, seor seor l'gzir shofet. Remember we said here? What does it say? In one place it says chametz and seor. In the other place it only says seor. So we said, does that imply a difference between the prohibitions? What does the Gemara say? No, the exact opposite. We make gzir shofet. Seor seor. And connect the Yisurim. Nemer sor bebatim, sor li matzei bebatechem, and nemer sor begvulin, lo yirech ha-sor. Ma sor ha-amur bebatim, over mishum bal yirah bal yimatzei, uval yatmin, uval yikabel, pikdonot menagoy. If sor in your house, you violate whether you own it or whether it's the non-Jew's deposit. Av sor ha-amur begvulin, over mishum bal yirah bal yimatzei, bal yatmin, bal yikabel, pikdonot menagoy. Then in my gvul, I violate for Sa'or, whether or not I own it, whether or not it's the goy's deposit. Uma Sa'or hamur begvulin shel chai yitaroa. And then the Gemara says, aha, you know what else I do with the Gzeirah Shaveh? Well, there's an ownership requirement.
So they've just combined all that.
Exactly, right? Meaning, whatever level of ownership you need in one, you need in the other. We've already expanded it to say that it's not necessarily that which you own, but there's always some sort of ownership requirement, meaning Yimatzei implies that it's more expansive than mere ownership. Lecha tells me that if it's totally not mine, I don't violate. And what does the Gemara do with the Gzeirah Shaveh Seor? Say that both in your house and in your gvul, you need some level of ownership implied by Lecha, but not full ownership, as implied by Yimatzei.
I don't really think that. I mean, putting aside how all this work plays out, I don't understand the whole drive to equate it.
Oh, okay. So now, right, we just read quickly through the Gemara. Quickly, right? What is the upshot of the Gemara? Right? Are there differences lehalacha in the end of the day between lo yirayah, lo yimatzei? So the simple understanding of the Gemara is no. Who says that explicitly? The Ritva, right? If you look at the sources I gave you, the Ritva says nema soar bibatim perish ra'ah. The Ritva quotes the ra'ah, who's also one of his rebbeim, b'shem Rabo. And who's the Ra'az Rebbe? The Ramban.
Oh, okay.
Right? Meaning, okay, this is just an important aside here. People make this mistake.
Right? People do. Okay? Right? People make this historical mistake. Ramban, Rajva, Ritva. You've heard people make that, right? Say that?
That the Ramban student was the Rajva, student was the Ritva. Yes? Oh, well, good.
This is really a mistake. Really, it's like this. But the Ramban and multiple Talmidim, one, the most famous is the Rajva, but another very well-known
is
the
Ra'ah. And the Ritva is primarily a student of the Ra'ah, not of the Rajva. Okay?
I've never heard Ra'ah before.
Well, he's very important. He doesn't write nearly as much as the Rajva. The Rajva wrote prolifically. So the Ritva quotes the Ra'ah in the name of his Rebbe, meaning the Ramban. The Chavan Dixiv Gzera, Dixiv Gzera Shaveh. Since there is a gzera shaveh, meaning seor seor, harehu ki'ilu k'tivei trovayu. He says this as straightforwardly as you can. It's as if it says in both psukim, batim ubigvulin. Whatever words it says by one, it's as if it says by the other. Vafilu gvulin over bishnehem. And therefore, gvulin, you violate both. The cave and chicane, and since that's true, two lo shari big tamun bigvulin. So something which is buried is not mutter anywhere. Ah, you can't see it. Who cares? Lo yimatzei forbids even something which is hidden from view. And we compared, we made gzeirah shaveh, and therefore, just like in your house, you can't have something which is hidden. The fact that it's not visible doesn't help you. Then bigvulin, it doesn't help you. Just like it doesn't in house. V'achirim perishu d'lo anek zeir shavet l'itin kula d'gvulin. Bebatim. Actually, before we get to the line, so what is the Ritva quote from the Ramban? That what is the upshot of this sugya? That lehalacha.
This.
Right? That obviously we pay attention to all these phrases, right? So lecha tells us that ownership is relevant. Matze tells me that I don't need full ownership, but I only take them, but the way I take them as significant is an additive way, right? Meaning by the end, all these things we collapse and we come up with one synthetic isur called Bali Yiraya, Bali Matze, right? And whatever is true, is true of everything, right? That's what the Riva quotes from the Ramban.
No, this is the Rambam. There's two messages.
What?
The Rambam disagrees with
that. Look at the next line in the Ritva. V'acherim pirshu, right? So, very good. Eitan says that really what's going on is the question is how do you take the Zereshavah? The first day in the Ritva says the Zereshavah tells me that these are basically the same Isser, right? Meaning his formulation is quite strong, which is, it's as if it says the word Gvulin here and the word Batim there. It's as if you collapse this into one Pasuk, right? And now whatever Diuk you have is true in all the Isserim, possibility one, right? But Eitan says, Mapitam, it's not one Pasuk, it's Xerashava. You know what Xerashava is? Two separate Isserim that we compare, which implies that, yes, some of the halacha will be borrowed from one to the other, but they will not lose their identity. Look at the next line. Thank you for being mechadim. V'acherim pershu. Other people explained. D'lo'ahan exerishave. Ela litim kula digvulun bebatim. No, it's a limited exerishave. It's expanding one kula from gvulun to houses, namely, the mishre shal acherim shal gavoa below achrayut, to tell you that if a non-Jew puts something in my property and I have no responsibility for it, that I don't violate in either place. And to forbid in both cases, right, this, right, that if I take a pikadon from a guy, I take, and I do accept responsibility, even though it's not technically mine, we have one expansion of ownership that says it's not just ownership, but even partial ownership, right? Meaning something that doesn't belong to me, but I have responsibility for it. However, the prohibition of lo yira in gvulin, the only prohibition that applies is lo yira and not lo yimatze. Right? So what is the Ritva telling you? There's two possible ways of reading the sugya, and we'll leave it with this for today. Right? One possible way of the sugya is that this Zereshava is literally, as he says in the first one, makes it as if this is one big pasuk. And therefore, yes, we care about all these nuances, but only in an additive way. Right? Just like if this was one parsha, contiguous, we would look at these and say, oh, it says lecha, that must be, there must be some ownership. But you might say it sounds more expansive, so maybe we expand ownership. Right? And da-da-da-da-da. Right? It's as if it's written all together, and that's how we continue on that assumption. Second possibility, as Eitan said, is, what do you mean? It doesn't say it in the same pasuk. It's a Xerushava. Xerushava means that we borrow certain halachos, but not that they're the same. These remain distinct. So he says, yes, we combine them in the sense that we get one kula out of it, which is that ownership matters, and one chumra out of it is that ownership matters, but you don't need full ownership. Right? Even accepting liability in certain circumstances makes it enough yours that you violate. However, it doesn't make it the same. You, in fact, don't violate lo yirai in gvulin, right? Because, you don't violate lo yimatze in gvulin. You only violate lo yirai in gvulin, right? Because these remain two distinct isurim. Now, he doesn't spell it out, but according to this, are you going to expect to see halachic differences between Balira and Balimatze? Yes. Right? So this is the major question that we need to deal with. Right? Is Balira and Balimatze in the end of the day just the same thing or not? Right? That's the question the Ritva was raising. And now you understand that we've gone through all the psukim. The psukim very much imply many, many differences, right? Which imply that these are different isurim. However, the Gemara that introduces this Zera Shavua to Or Saor, right? And the million-dollar question here is, what does the Zera Shavua to Or Saor do? So for the Ritva, there's two possibilities. One is make it as if there's only one pasuk, and therefore we have to read it carefully as one pasuk, but don't expect to see differences between the Yisurim, because at the end of the day, this is two ways of saying the same thing. The second possibility is, no, it's just Xer Shava, but as Eitan said, it's Xer Shava. That implies there's two Yisurim that you're comparing, not one Yisur, and therefore there are going to be certain similarities which are not explicit in the Pesukim, but expect to see differences also. Okay? Good.